Thank you very much. I forgot again. Paul, could you send someone for the offering? Okay. Sorry. I wanted to mention concerts this afternoon held at the Lawville School Auditorium. And I say plural because there's held the same time the community choir, which a couple of girls, Rebecca and Erica, and I think even Isaiah, do you sing in that? Also the band. And they're always, of course, without needing to say it, wonderful concerts. So I know everyone's schedule is totally full. And just because I told you the girls were singing, I don't mean to scare you away because of that. But you're welcome to come.
Isaiah's singing in the kids' choir.
Did I just say that or am I crazy?
You said it.
Isaiah chapter 9. Okay, so we've read this. But I'm starting here. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. There's the light. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. That light has come. That light has shone. But it will never be extinguished. It will continue, not only till the end of this world, but also for all eternity. For unto us a child is born, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule for all eternity, verse 7. And yet this too from verse 7, the passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. I turn over immediately to the New Testament, to Gospel of John, to pick up on the actual coming of this light and so on. Now, again, be reminded, there's a 700-year gap in here from what we just read and what Isaiah announced, what Isaiah prophesied, what Isaiah promised by the word of the Lord has now come about in terms of an appearance and manifestation of this light. Jesus, chapter 8 of John, verse 12, Jesus spoke and he said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. That was the theme of our service last evening. And still say another couple verses from John, turning over to chapter 12 and reading from verse 44, these words, Jesus again speaking, if you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. And now what does he say? I have come as a light to shine in this dark world so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. Having read that, which last night was done at the beginning of the service and then went a little bit and then read these words from John in a very significant and powerful passage back to John chapter 1, backing up from where we were, and go there again to share this version of John's rendition of the Christmas story, the Advent, the incarnation, the coming of God to earth, and say a few more words on. And again, as last night, I should have warned you that we're there last night. You might want to not want to come and hear the same thing again today. Could have taken a day away from this, but here we are. I said last evening as I was reading this that it's done right here in the word in the passage, so no one's deciding, I think I'll put this twist on it, but what we're saying is we're making the word, which is always used in the translation, or always capitalized in its usage in Scripture, appearance in Scripture. So the word of God, the word that God wanted to speak to, a word of revelation, the word God wanted to speak to a people that he had created, that he placed on this earth, that would never know him and know about him if that word weren't spoken, if that word weren't clarified or whatever. And he says, I'll do it in such a personal way that I send Jesus Christ to just speak this word. I send my son, the word Jesus. So I'm going to read it again, as I did last night, substituting in or using word or using the name Jesus in every place, just to say that we want to be painfully clear that this is what the word is. In the beginning, see, the word. In the beginning, Jesus already existed. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus existed in the beginning with his Father. God created everything through Jesus. See how great thou art. There you are again. God created everything through Jesus, and nothing was created except through Jesus. The Jesus who gave life to everything that was created. And Jesus' life brought light, see? Jesus' life brought life to everyone. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, forerunner. God sent a man ahead of Jesus, and his name was John. It wasn't the John who wrote this epistle. That was John the Baptist. And John the Apostle, I mean this gospel, but John the Gospel writer, John one of the 12, tells now about John the Baptist, who was there to tell about Jesus before he made his appearance, in ministry, to tell about the light. God sent this man, John, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. Not John the Baptist wasn't. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Let me just add this. We mentioned this song Jan sang for us in a number of references and songs we sang together, that this has been announced for a long time. I mean, we're talking generations. We're talking nearly a couple thousand years till he came. So when John the Baptist appeared on the scene, and it's like, oh, come, Emmanuel, come, we're waiting, come, we're just anticipating, come, you promised. So anything comes close to that, like John the Baptist, people are going out by the crowds or whatever, and so on. Here's the Messiah. And John had to be painfully clear, and he was in more instances than one. No, I'm not that one. No, I'm not the one. I am the front runner. I'm here to announce him. So on. So we go on. Jesus came into the very world he created. There it is again. Jesus came into the very world he created. Jesus came to this world that didn't recognize him. That's all in verse 10. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. And it's happening today. Even after all this, I'm going to say, clarification about Jesus, about who he was, about where he was from, and on, and all the documentation, and all the witness, and all the testimony. And he established his church now, which is his people, in place of the Israel that was there, in the Old Testament, that Jesus came to his own, and they were the Old Testament people in place. They did not receive him. They rejected him. Very same happens today. That's a sad, sad story. For all the details, for all the fulfilled prophecies, for all the pictures, for all the words, for all the telling, for all the story. But to all who believed him, he accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. I'd like to emphasize something there. To all who believed him, to all those who accepted him, to all those who accepted his ministry, and observed it, and took it to heart, and believed, to all those he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, and it's not about a physical birth resulting from a human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So Jesus became human, verse 14, and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love, unfailing faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. A couple more verses. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about," John the Baptist says, "when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me." From his abundance, verse 16, we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Out of the storehouse of his wealth and abundance and provision, from his abundance we all have received gracious blessing one after another. The law, the Old Testament, given through Moses, that was in place, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the unique one, with a capital O, the unique one, who is himself God. Again and again said here, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. I tell it again, I've shared it many, many times, I understand, but I think it's a fantastic parabolic parable, sort of like illustration story way of representing this miracle that's beyond description. And in a sense, beyond human comprehension, no matter how many gospel writers and how many parables are told and how many other stories and illustrations are shared. But here it is again from Paul Harvey, the parable of the farmer who was a skeptic. And at one point in a very raw storm on a winter night, he hears this tapping on the storm door. He goes and checks it out, and he sees sparrows looking for comfort and security, so to speak, from the storm, or shelter, I should say. And he watched as the shivering sparrows outside, attracted to the evident warmth inside, beat in vain against the glass on this storm door. And touched by this, the farmer bundled up and he trudged through the snow, and he opens the barn door and throws some hay in a corner, and he does a number of things to try to get those sparrows inside, including scattering a trail of breadcrumbs and so on. It tried getting behind them, if you can do that with a flock of birds, not like turkeys. You can do that, but sparrows, you're going to herd them from behind and get them in the barn. It didn't work. And he was just, sort of, whatever, defeated by it in the sense of giving up. And he withdrew to his house and the comfort of his home and couldn't do anything more about it. And that's, if you're thinking of God the Father there, then you're thinking like, well, the farmer was beat out, but God the Father wasn't. He wasn't defeated. He wasn't beaten by it and so on. But this skeptic is thinking, in ways of maybe a dumb way of thinking, like we would consider it to be, like a lot of us might do a lot of dumb thinking about it and think, if only I could become a bird, I could communicate to them in their language and let it be known, let it be revealed, let it be told that I'm trying to help them. I'm trying to do this for their good. I'm trying to do this to save them from an untimely death, in a matter of calling it that, with these sparrows in a windstorm, a snowstorm, in a blizzard, whatever else, and so on. Very raw weather. If only I could become a bird. And the thought came to him, and he's a skeptic, as Paul Harvey would tell it. He's a skeptic and thinking, he grasped the reason. He grasped by that the reason that Jesus came to help, to tell, to reveal. Man becoming a bird is nothing compared to God becoming a man. When you put the real clincher on that, the man becoming a bird is nothing in comparison to God becoming man. The concept of a sovereign, all-powerful, we cannot picture the power to create, and not just the world that we see and try to examine and search out all the wonders of this creation, as science will help us do but far, far beyond this. And again, also pictured as an illustration, as I've said many times, about, when Jesus returning to that form, it's like taking all the dazzle and razzle and spectacularism of fireworks exploded and saying, hey, collect all that and put it back into this very common sort of like package container before it's exploded into all the light. And that's reversing the incarnation, if you want to say it quite like that, in doctrinal terms like that. Fireworks explode with brilliant, dazzling colors and loud noises, and they start out in an ordinary looking paper sort of package. Like even the capsule or whatever of even dynamite itself, much less firecrackers and all other things. Very common package. Wouldn't know what power is in there. But when God became a man, the opposite happened. The creator of everything in the universe confined himself to an unimpressive human package. I want you to look at your bulletin on the inside. Tip of the hat to Pam for putting this in there from her stupid phone. I mean, the smartphone. couple thoughts from here. Light is one of the one of Christ's most important and graphic illustrations, images, pictures, metaphors. Jesus said of himself, we already read it, I am the light of the world. And that's one of the I ams. Jesus said so many things. He said, I'm the gate, I am the light, I am the way, I am the truth and the life, I am a vine, so that you have, and I am a shepherd, so that you have shepherd provision for animals such as sheep and other forms and like that, whether a zookeeper and a whole lot of other things, and the vine, which is provision for fruit bearing and so on and so on. So from all these angles of life, I am the shepherd, I am the gate for the sheep, I'm the door. I am light, I am the way, the truth, and the life, on and on. He says, light is one of the most important and graphic metaphors. Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. Jesus, however, was not speaking about electric light you snap on with a switch, but of the light of sunrise. Again, how great thou art. Before the sun appears, its influence is felt, almost like a subtle change beginning to take place in the world. The world, as you know, we wake up to, wakes us up. The darkness loosens its grip on the earth and begins to dissolve into day, begins to dissipate the darkness. You ever heard of fog dissipating? Of course, you know, it comes, collects, dissipates in its time or whatever, and the sun can dissipate the darkness and spread it and be rid of it. The night is overwhelmed by the dawning of light. This is a neat statement here in that paragraph that follows. When Jesus comes into our lives, when Jesus comes into our world, and Jesus comes into our families, and Jesus comes into our churches, and trust me, there's lots of times he's standing knocking on the door, he's not there, and the door still isn't open to him. But when he comes into our churches and into our lives, into our families, the light of his presence begins to make a subtle difference. The night of selfishness gives way to the day of selflessness. Isn't that neat? The night of selfishness gives way to the day of selflessness. Cold relationships thaw and warm. They warm into meaningful relationships, meaningful communion. But the path of the just, as Proverbs says, is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Looked up the fuller verse in context there in Proverbs 4:18. I shared just a couple of lines from that. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of the dawn. The writer of the Proverbs says this. The way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. But then, like Hebrew poetry always does, it has this offsetting and contrasting thoughts paralleled. We call it parallelism in Hebrew poetry. But now we go to the other side of the coin here. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they are stumbling over. Could we add to that a little in some thoughts and say they have no idea what they are living for? They have no idea what they are pursuing. We could go on and on. But you know, Dwight L. Moody, that's also here. We're told to let our light shine. And if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. We don't need to tell anybody it shines. Lighthouses don't fire cannons. I could say set off fireworks to draw attention to their shining. The lighthouses are there to shine, and they just shine. Once again, this, 'twas the night before Christmas, and all through the earth, all the angels were cheering the coming birth. The birth that meant freedom, the birth that meant grace from the fall, the birth that meant immeasurable love for one and all. But God didn't stop with the birth of the King. His plan was far greater than any had seen, a plan that confounds us still today, a plan that says, Jesus is the only way. A plan that could just not be known had not God come and made it known, had it not been for revealing it. And this is the revelation. It's here. And we dastn't ignore it. We dastn't leave it lay and gather dust. who death leave it lay neglected. Death by crucifixion, it appeared Satan had won. But God's plan was not over. There was still much to be done. 3 days had passed while Satan cheered, but silence befell him as Jesus appeared. The tomb is now empty. The battle is won. For you to be victorious, just believe in the Son. Also this. I see the countless Christmas trees around the world below, with tiny lights like heaven stars reflecting on the snow. The sight is so spectacular. Please wipe away the tear, for I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I hear many Christmas songs that people hold so dear, but the sounds of music can't compare with the Christmas choir up here. I have no words to tell you the joy their voices bring. It's beyond description to hear the angels sing. I know how much you miss me. I see the pain inside your heart, but I'm not so far away. We really aren't apart. So be happy for me, dear ones. You know I hold you dear. And be glad I'm spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. I sent you each a special gift from my heavenly home above. I sent you each a memory of my undying love. After all, love is a gift more precious than pure gold. It was always more important, most important, I'm sorry, in the stories Jesus told. Please love and keep each other near, as my Father said to do, for I count the blessings of love he has for each of you. So have a Merry Christmas and wipe away that tear. Remember, I am spending Christmas with Jesus Christ this year. Come up and sing with me. Even though I sort of insulted you girls, I want you to forgive me and just come sing, share your lovely gift.
One of these days.
One of these days.
One of these days they won't.
Wonder of wonders.
We said last night that we were going to sing two songs. We only sang the one. And service got lengthy. It started late because of calling hours. We didn't sing this one, so now we're going to do it this morning. It's like saying we chose this way, or I did. I didn't let her vote on it, but yes, I did. That singing the Wonder of Wonders, the Wow song, it's a wonder of wonders, all the works and wonders of creation and everything, incarnation, all that, and so on. God made a move, and now then, you know, sing a song that basically mentions, do we make a move in response to that? He's made a choice to choose us, to elect us, and we have to make a choice to choose him, or it doesn't take, so to speak.
Stand for...